ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Now, in the second chapter of the Vedanta Treatise book that we are studying now, in fact, it is the third chapter that we are studying, sorry, it's called Life Its Course. And in this, initially he discussed that when the human being contacts the world, there is experience, and series of such experience flowing is life. So if you want to improve the quality of life, you need to improve the quality of experience, and the quantity also has to be there, so that will be dynamic life and also qualitative life. And when you talk about experience, the experience is when the individual contacts the world. So if you want to improve the experience, you need to develop both the world and the individual. So he says that the world has been constantly improved, and they are also striving to improve it even further. In spite of tremendous improvement in the side of world, still the human life is suffering qualitatively. Therefore, to improve that, we need to understand that we also need to focus on developing the individual. Hence, he talks about the individual mechanism. And when he talks about the individual mechanism, we covered the certain basics. Like every human being is made up of physical body, mind and intellect. And there is five organs of perception and five organs of action. And then mind, intellect, and then vasanas, and driven by the self. This is you, this is me, and all of us. So if you want to go a little deeper, then the physical body, then we have five organs of perception, five organs of action, and purposely saying it this way because five organs of perception and five organs of action are not part of the physical body. It's only the gross aspect of the five organs of perception and five organs of action are part of the physical body. Technically, the five senses and the five organs of action all are part of subtle body. And then you have mind, indiscriminate thought flow. And then you have intellect, which is discriminate thought flow. And then all this put together is subtle body. Along with it, there is one more which is called pranas. Five pranas are there. Prana, apana, samana, vyana, udana. All these five pranas, five senses, five organs of action, and then mind, intellect, all this put together is your subtle body. And then there is this causal body called vasanas, enlivened by Atma, the spirit. So all of us are a combination of spirit and matter. We employ the physical body, mind and intellect to contact the world. And Atma is only an enlivening factor. Atma is not the doer. Atma, when we say is not the doer, what it technically means is, we essentially are not the doer because we are essentially Atma. Per se, the body, mind, intellect are insentient. There is no life in body, mind, intellect per se. Because they are made up of five elements. You observe any five elements, does it have any life in it? Does it have any sentiency in it? There is no sentiency in the five elements per se. But when the five elements have come together to form this gross body and subtle body, and when the Atma reflects through this gross body and subtle body, then we, the individuals, seem to be sentient. So therefore, per se, there is no sentiency in the body, mind, intellect. It is the Atma that enlivens the body, mind, intellect to be sentient. And when they become sentient, according to the gunas, the eyes see color and form, the tongues taste, nose smells, ears hear, skin touches, etc. Similarly, the mind, similarly, the intellect, all of them function enlivened by the Atma, but Atma has no desire to make them act, nor does it have any desire not to make them act. Atma is neither having desire to make them act, nor does it have any desire to make them inactive. Simply in the presence of Atma, the body, mind, intellect functions. Just like in the presence of the sun, everybody gets vitalized and energized, and then they start acting. But you cannot blame the sun for it. You understand? If somebody goes and murders during the day, broad daylight, you can't say, because I could see very well during the broad daylight I murdered, therefore you have to, you know, get the sun to the court as well to give punishment. You can't say that. Similarly, if the doctor operates with the sunlight, a patient on an emergency and saves his life, you can't say everything is because of sun. Sun, simply in the presence of the sun, things happen. Similarly, in the presence of Atma, in the presence of me, the body, mind, intellect operates. But this is not how we understand today. But this is how we are supposed to understand. We understand it this way, then there won't be any undue involvement in any action. We'll just do, operate the body, mind, intellect and do our actions and then keep moving. But we get involved and then we go through lots of ups and downs in life. So he says, Atma is only an enlivening factor, doesn't do anything. And when you understand that you are not the doer and you do the action without being a doer, without having doership, then there is neither pap nor punya for you. When you do an action which happens to be unselfish action, but you do it with a lot of doership, then you develop a lot of punya. When you do an action which is selfish and you do it with doership, obviously, then you gain a lot of pap. But when you do an action with no doership, there is no pap, no punya, nothing. That's all we need to understand. In fact, Arjuna was arguing in the Bhagavad Gita in the first chapter that by going to the battle, killing Bhishma, Drona, who are supposedly good people, I will incur sin. We will incur sin. That was the argument Arjuna put forward. And Sri Krishna said, if you don't fight this battle, you will incur sin. Why he said that was, the duty of Arjuna as a Kshatriya is to defend his kingdom, especially defend righteousness. And when such an opportunity has come, he wants to go away. Away with what? With doership. See, when Buddha, or rather Siddhar, pulled out of his household, he did not pull out of his household out of doership. I don't want to face all these responsibilities. I want to shirk all these responsibilities. I want to go have fun in Himalayas. He didn't think like that and shirk responsibility and leave. So he did not move away out of doership. Remember this. The problem is not moving away or moving in. The problem is, are you moving in with doership? Are you moving away with doership? If you do so, then accordingly, for both pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti means what we are supposed to do, our actions, what we do. Nivritti means what we are not supposed to do, our withdrawal, our renunciations. So, then we face omissions and commissions, if there is doership. And there is no doership, and there is no omissions or commissions, there is no pap, no punya. All this is not mentioning here, but I am just saying this in the context because we have already studied all these things in Bhagavad Gita, so I am just connecting it. The idea is, understanding that we are Atma and not body, mind, intellect, and understanding that Atma is a witness, I am a witness. I am supposed to be a witness, but I get involved. When I get involved, I create karma. So therefore, I am supposed to do actions without getting involved. Then I can extricate myself. Now, having said that, next he moves on to say that when the individual contacts the world with body, mind, intellect, he goes through or she goes through three transactions of life, which are called 3R transactions of life, namely receipt of stimuli from the world, reaction within your personality, within the inner personality, and then response back to the world. We are like a factory, industry, where we are manufacturing something, so the raw material comes to the factory from the outside world. And it is processed in the factory, and the raw material that is processed, finally the finished product goes to the world again. From the world the raw material comes, gets processed and the product is made, the finished product goes back to the world. Similarly, our senses draw the stimuli from the world. Now you are hearing my class, so the sound is entering your ears. You are seeing me through the video, so the color and form is entering through your eyes. So the senses are receiving the stimuli from the world. And depending upon the quality of your mind and intellect within, the inner personality reacts. You understand? Inner personality reacts. Now, if you have already got tremendous likes for this stimuli that is entering, you will react, wow, fantastic, you know. Supposing you don't like it, and then such a stimuli enters, you say, my God, why this is coming now, you know. You react differently. It's due to the quality of the mind and intellect. And then you send back the response to the world through your organs of action. Isn't it? You either say, no, I'm not coming. I don't want to listen. You switch off the TV. I don't want to listen to this lecture. So you switch off the, laptop. So, or you say, no, I like to do this. And then you will probably send messages to a few of your friends. You also should attend. So, in other words, our reactions, then finally we get on to response back into the world. Is what we are doing. Now, when we understand this, if you want to improve the quality of our life, we need to improve all the three ingredients, namely receipt, reaction, and response. How do you improve the quality of your receipts? You cannot improve it what has been already received. But when you are going to receive something, you employ your intellect and see what is good for you, not what is pleasing. What is good for you? Why you want to put in all the negativities and then deal with it? So in the beginning, like, you know, in the industry, they make sure that the raw material is of first quality. Supposing you feed third grade raw material, the processing unit is fantastic. You have imported a lot of machines from abroad, Germany, etc. All those are fine. The raw material is third grade. However superior the processing may be, still the product won't be good, no? So first things first, we got to make sure that the raw material is of first grade. So therefore, it's very, very important. We need to have good stimuli entry. You know? We have to practice this from childhood. In fact, when we practice chanting, for example, our organ of action is put to use to chant Bhagwan's names. Rather than some mundane stuff, you know, it's a practice. So we need to consciously make sure that we receive stimuli that are positive. And then when you come to mind, the reaction, there are two ways in which you can deal with it. One is temporary, which is becoming aware. And when you become aware and observe itself, you will stop those reactions. Like for example, let's say you're getting angry. In the very beginning, as you're getting angry, when you become aware that it looks like I'm going to lose myself. If you become a little more aware, you will probably leave the scene. You know, rather than shouting, yelling or kicking, instead of doing all that, you just quietly leave. You can control the reactions by becoming aware. This you can develop through the process called introspection. Introspection is just a 3-minute exercise or maximum 5-minute exercise one does before going to bed every night. You sit down, close your eyes, half eyes closed, not fully closed. Why we say don't close it fully? Because you might go off to sleep. We say sit down because you can do this lying down also. Again, that is more conducive to sleep. You sit down with your half eyes closed and go through the day's activities from the time you woke up, one after another. And without judging, without analyzing. You just go one experience after another in that sequence. If you have forgotten something, you don't have to force yourself to remember. Just go through. Be aware. Send the light of awareness on each of the experiences. Now, if you had come late, if you had eaten something which you are not supposed to eat, you will become aware there. Oh, I went to that meeting 10 minutes late. I'm not supposed to eat this as a diabetic patient, but I ate it. You just don't say, why did I eat that? Or you stupid fellow. Don't get into all that. Just be aware. And then, 2-3 days like this, you do, a day will come when, before you are about to eat that sweet, you will stop. So awareness will help. But permanent solution, if you want, you've got to gain knowledge and rehabilitate your mind and intellect. Develop the strength of the intellect and improve the quality of your mind. This only comes through proper sadhana. You know, like that you have to develop the mind and intellect and get rid of the reactions that are negative. And then response. Now, how do you analyze the response? If your response has been selfish, it will hit you back with agitations. Remember this, no selfish person can be happy. No selfish person can be happy. No unselfish person will be unhappy. If you are unselfish, you will be happy. Now, in the name of unselfishness, a lot of ego that is involved in many of our activities, therefore we go through agitations. If you go and analyze that strictly, it will be more of selfish than you are doing something for others only, but I am doing. See how much I am contributing. Nobody is thankful to me. Then there is ego, there is selfishness. To that extent, you will suffer. So therefore, having understood this, you need to slowly change the quality of your actions from being selfish to unselfish, and finally you take it to selfless. This is how you can improve the receipt, reaction and response. When you do so, then the quality of your life improves tremendously. He continues. Page number 58, no, Shweta?
Yes, yes, Guruji, 58.
Page number 58, what paragraph is it?
The third para. Ignorant masses, however, are not aware of their inherent power.
Yeah, so before that paragraph, which we concluded, he says, wherever you are, whatever you be, you must perfect the above three transactions of life. That's all Vedanta is teaching. Now, why people do not want to study this while they are studying the other subjects, I don't understand. People think this is to be studied after they become 60, 70. This has to be studied when you are studying other subjects in the schools and colleges, where they are not teaching any of this in the name of secularism and all that. All this is not being taught. But these are fundamental things that one needs to learn. You know? So therefore he says, be whatever you are, wherever you may be, you've got to perfect these three transactions of life. Every human being is well equipped to act, to set things right for a spiritual evolution. You have all this, but you are not working upon it. Your present nature is best suited for your development. See, this is another very interesting line that he makes, statement he makes. The present nature is best suited for your development doesn't mean you should not wish to change it. What he is trying to say is, as per our karma, we have got the body, we have got the environment. We got to understand that and work here and move on. Not say, ah, that is this place, I don't want to be here, I don't want to do this. No, work here and then you can move. But don't resist. This is best suited for your development. Realize that. Make good use of your faculties to discover the peace and happiness within you. So to discover the peace and happiness, he says, because peace and happiness are within you. It is not something that needs to be achieved. It needs to be discovered. You have covered it with a lot of selfishness that arises from ignorance. If you remove all that egoistic attitude and egoistic actions, selfishness is removed, ego is removed, then you will find the happiness within you. You will discover it. Continue, please, from the paragraph of ignorant masses.
The ignorant masses, however, are not aware of their inherent power to steer their way to perfection. Instead, they boast over their mundane achievements or bemoan their failings in life. They suffer from either a superiority or inferiority complex. You must be careful not to develop either complex. No one is superior or inferior. Everyone has a distinct part to play in this world. So have you. Recognize your part and play it well. Thus would you progress to perfection.
Yeah, continue this.
The American poet-philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson has well brought out the problem of complexes in human beings in his poem, The Mountain and the Squirrel. The poem depicts a mountain carrying forests on his back but cannot crack a nut, whereas a squirrel that can crack a nut cannot carry forests. Therefore, none is superior or inferior in this world. All creatures serve as spokes in the wheel of life. God merely acts as the hub holding everything together. The poem, The Mountain and the Squirrel. Should I read it?
Yes, please.
The mountain and the squirrel had a quarrel, and the former called the latter, "Little prig." Bun replied, "You are doubtless very big, but all sorts of things and weather must be taken in together to make up a year and a sphere. And I think it's no disgrace to occupy my space, my place. If I'm not so large as you, you are not so small as I, and not half so spry. I'll not deny you make a very pretty squirrel track. Talents differ. All is well and wisely put. If I cannot carry forests on my back, neither can you crack a nut." Ralph Waldo Emerson.
One of the most simple poems, but very deep and very wise poem, which all of us should actually try to see if we can memorize the entire poem, if not at least the last three lines, which are very important, which Swamiji has given in the book, in the italics. Talents differ, all is well and wisely put. If I cannot carry forests on my back, neither can you crack a nut. So all that he's trying to say is, without really focusing on one's self-development, people are focusing on achievements. Now, there's another poem by John Milton on his blindness. In that poetry, which is written by John Milton when he actually turned blind, halfway through his life, he actually turned blind. So he's kind of regretting and saying, what is the point? You've given me this talent to write poetry and all that, but you've taken away my vision. That time this poetry comes and he wrote it down. And it says, in one line there it says, "They also serve who stand and wait. They also serve who stand and wait." Meaning, everybody has a role to play. There is nobody superior, nobody inferior. Instead of focusing on our achievements and developing either a superiority or inferiority complex, all we need to do is compete with yourself and keep improving yourself. Have I become a better person compared to yesterday? How can I be of a better person compared to today? That's how we should proceed. Instead of that, this I have achieved, that I have achieved. There is tremendous, distance to travel. We are yet to achieve anything in life till we haven't achieved ourselves. Achieved our original nature. The real goal of human life is to get back to the self. So all these mundane achievements, you know, somebody will be more, somebody will be less, so what? Many people said Sachin Tendulkar's record could not be broken. Already there's a guy who's breaking it. Now this record also will be broken in future. These achievements are all temporary. You understand? So therefore, there's no point getting into all these complexes. The focus should be upon self-development. That's it. So we say in Vedanta, from the highest point of view, the goal is self-realization. From the relative point of view, the goal is self-development. It all matters. See, ultimately, when we die, all of us have to die, that's why I'm directly talking, instead of directly going about it. One day all of us will have to die. When we die, the only thing that we carry with us, what is that we carry, really speaking? Anybody? What is that we take with us?
Our deeds or thoughts?
Karmas.
Yes.
Vasanas.
Paras, vasanas.
Vasanas. Sattva, rajas, tamas. How much of tamas, rajas, sattva you have at the time of death that you carry forward with you? So you might as well decrease the tamas and rajas and increase sattva. And when you bring the sattva to 100%, sattva alone cannot exist. Therefore, you transcend sattva also and realize the sattva. Therefore, the goal of life is to move from tamas to rajas to sattva and go beyond. That's the only thing we carry. Nothing else. They are the ones which we carry as karmas. You understand? So therefore, we have to understand that self-realization is our absolute goal and self-development is our relative goal. Nothing else really matters. What's the point in comparing and contrasting with all the achievements with others? And these achievements also, you could have not achieved without your guru's contribution, without your parents' contribution, without your without Lord's grace, for example, and then without so many other people who have contributed for you to do that. And to arrogate everything upon oneself is the height of stupidity. So therefore, he says, people unnecessarily get into all these complexes. It's not needed all that. All you need is recognize your part and play. You are a spoke in the wheel of life. All of us are a spoke in the wheel of life. Each one of us have a role to play. That's why John Milton says, they also serve who stand and wait. The hair inside your nose, it has a purpose. It prevents the dust from going inside. You understand? So, there is nobody superior, nobody inferior. And that's what this poetry is beautifully talking about. It's apparent, he's just, you know, talking it as if there's a fight between, argument between mountain and squirrel. Mountain and squirrel had a quarrel. They fought as to who is really big. I've contributed more than you. I've got Padma Shri, Padma Bhushan, Padma Vibhushan, Padma Nekaja. I've got all this. What have you got? Understand? So if people keep on arguing like this, so he says, mountain called the squirrel and said, hey, what are you contributing, man? Nothing. Look at me. I'm carrying the whole forest. What is you? What is your contribution? And then the poet is speaking through the squirrel and he's saying, I am doubtless small and you are doubtless big, but I have my own role to play. Beautifully he says, you are doubtless very big, but all sorts of things and weather must be taken in together to make up a ear and a spear. It's not possible only the world runs because of the contribution of the mount. My contribution may be small, however small it could be, but also matters. You understand? In fact, if you go deeply, there is this beautiful story of Sri Krishna, where apparently on one side of the balance, Sri Krishna is sitting, on the other side they stack up gold, you know, and any amount of gold, any kilos of gold they put there, on the other side of the balance is not tilting. But somebody comes and puts a small tulsi leaf, the balance tilts. In other words, what is really powerful is not making your presence known. No. You do everything to make your presence known, it becomes ugly. And then you do a lot of things to so many people and then you but keep on reminding, I did this to you, I did this to you. So he says, it is no big disgrace to occupy my place. If I am not so large as you are not so small as I, and not half so spry. I'll not deny you make a very pretty squirrel track. He's appreciating. Squirrel is appreciating the mountain. You're making a very pretty squirrel track. But understand, talents differ. All is well and wisely put. See, all is well and wisely put, we don't understand. All this is happening to me, only to me, pata nahi, kya kya maine, ye deserve karne ke liye. Because we are not understanding the total scheme. We can never understand. It's not possible. It's not possible. So sometimes we think, yeah, this is happening for our bad. Who told you? You don't know. When you know the end, then you will know, oh my God, oh, for this reason. Okay. You understand. So we really don't understand the big picture. We only go by that moment. Because our intellect is very small. It cannot understand the plan of nature. See, the mouth, above the mouth is the nose. So when you are carrying food to eat with your palm, your fingers, if the nose smells and says, eh, something wrong, you throw it. Supposing the nose is at your on your back, every time you have to take the food like this, smell, maybe you'll have good biceps, but then, you know, well and wisely put. Who designed it? Neither your mother nor your father. Who designed it? It's all beautifully put, you know. If you see the population of plants more than animals, herbivorous animals. Population of herbivorous animals is more than carnivorous animals. Now, who designed it that way? Otherwise, they'll suffer from lack of food. How the whole thing is designed is just incredible. The intelligence of the totality. So we need to align our intellect with the total intelligence and then function. So he says, talents differ, all is well and wisely put. If I cannot carry forests on my back, neither can you crack a nut. Remember those three lines. So with that understanding, you should just do what you're supposed to do. With no prefix, no suffix. Like that Nike slogan, you know, just do it. The Nike slogan just says, just do it. But there are a few lines which is unwritten there. Just do it and shut up. That is not written, but you should understand, just shut up. So many things have been done by Bhagwan. And he is not making his presence known. He or she is not making the presence known. And you do small things and then make your presence known. Such a foolish thing. Just like school children, when they leave the school after the 10th or 12th, they take the compass and divider and then start writing the names on the benches and tables and spoil all of them. We are also behaving like school children only. Why do you want to do all that? Yes, why you get into that? Just respect each other. Everybody's contribution is important, however small it may be. However small it may be, doesn't matter. See the axle, what is the size of the axle of the lorry or a bus? The axle breaks, the bus cannot run. So will you say every other part is important? Axle is not important. Every part is equally important. All of us are equally important. Yes, if like in our group, now Rita ji has a special talent, she can paint very well. And similarly, Shweta has certain talent. Everybody else has some talent at the other. In that area, I can't even do straight line, draw straight line. Okay. So does it mean that I am small and they are big? But they should know that they have that talent. Knowing your talent doesn't mean you're egoistic. Somebody comes and asks, who's conducting every Thursday morning class in Mamtaji's house? Then I say, I am conducting class. Are he is saying, I, egoistic fellow. Are I am saying I from the factual point of view. From the factual point of view, I am conducting the class. Now, if I say, I alone can conduct class, nobody else can conduct class better than me, then it is egoistic. So, is the emphasis on I? Or is it mentioned as a fact? Knowing your talent is nothing wrong. You understand? There's a, in my seminars, I give this example. A poet and his friend, they usually meet in the evening. So the poet one day went to his friend's house and knocked the door, and the friend was busy inside, so he's asking, who is it? The friend from outside said, an outstanding poet is standing out. He said, an outstanding poet is standing. He didn't say the outstanding poet. Please understand that. If he said the outstanding poet is standing out, it's wrong. It's egoistic. He said, an outstanding poet is standing out. He knows he's very well talented in that field. It's like Roger Federer, he knows very well that he's one of the best in tennis, outstanding player. He knows that. It's not that he doesn't know. Of course he knows. But he's not going on talking about. Right? And as if everybody else is inferior. So, this understanding has to come in life. There's something that we need to do as being a part. Just do it and get out. We are normal when we don't make our presence known. We are abnormal when we make our presence known. In every situation, if you really want to make your presence known, when you are suffering from some serious illness, please understand. Just do it and get out. That's what he said. Talents differ. Everybody has got some talent at the other. Whatever it may be, so what? If it's not valued today, that's what Bhagavad Gita says in verse 35, chapter 3. Shreyan swadharmo vigunaha paradharma swanishtita swadharme nidhanam shreyaha paradharmo bayava. Just express your talent. So many painters, Shakespeare for example, during his time, he died of poverty. But today, so many people making money, you know, in theaters playing his plays. They didn't do it for money. They just expressed their talents, that's all. So achievements are not the measuring scale. Talents differ. All is well and wisely put. If I cannot carry forest on my back, neither can you crack a nut. Therefore, we need to understand that this universe is interdependent. Being independent, we have to interdependently act. That's the main thing that we need to understand. Being independent, we need to act interdependently. Not become dependent on anything. But of course, we need each other's contributions. Nobody is superior, nobody is inferior. So therefore, with this understanding, if we focus upon just developing ourselves, nothing is impossible. Instead of just simply focusing on what we have achieved, you know, especially, I don't know, many times I see in our country, so many of us talking about our past achievements. India has achieved this in the past, that in the past. Yeah, so what? Everybody in some country or the other, everybody is achieving something or the other. So what if we achieved in the past? Where are you now? You know what my grandfather achieved? So what? What are you doing? What is your contribution? What is, how are you developing yourself? The whole focus should come to that. Nothing else. Nature of the world. Continue. Now after studying the individual, now he gets on to the world. Continue.
Nature of the world. The world is ever in a flux of change. The year passes through spring, summer, autumn, winter. The day through morning, noon, evening, night. Energy through mechanical, electrical, sonic, magnetic. The physical body changes through childhood, youth, adulthood, old age. So do the mind and intellect change. Nothing in the world remains static. Change or perish seems to be the law of nature.
See, in this book, many places he mentions, that is the law, that is the law, this is the law, etc. When he says law, what it means is you can't change it, I can't change it. It is there. We need to adapt ourselves to that law. If you say, hell with the law, It is the loss to you. It is not the loss to the loss. Isn't it? So therefore, we have no choice but to abide by the law. It's gravitational force functioning. Now if you say, hell with the law of gravity and then jump from the building, you will only break your bones. Or maybe you will even die. Now you can't say, I was ignorant of the law. When you are ignorant or not, the law will function. Therefore, he is mentioning here one particular law. Change or perish. That is the law. This whole world, when you analyze, having analyzed the individual, now he is analyzing the world. One thing that really stands out is, everything is uncertain. Certainly uncertain. Everything is certainly uncertain. Nothing is going to be a static concept. Everything is going to be changing, changing, changing. Morning changes to noon. Noon changes to evening. Evening changes to night. Night changes to morning. Keeps on changing. You know. That's all it is. It's very interesting. There's a very interesting story Swami Ramtita gives. He says, once a king had a question about God, and the king is a little, had a terrible nature. Like, if he had a question and if somebody answers, he really gives them a lot of gifts and all. But in case they don't answer to his satisfaction, he'll even kill them. It's a little tricky situation for the people, you know. So he called up his minister one day and said, I have a question. What question? He said, is there God? If God is there, where is he? And what does he do? And the minister said, I don't know. He said, you have to give me the answer in 3 days. Otherwise I'll kill you, behead you. And that fellow got highly agitated and he went and fell sick. His temperature rose and he could not move his body. He was lying on the bed, completely gone. His servant, somebody who he had employed to serve him, was a very wise man, but he didn't show his wisdom. He didn't say that I am a wise man or anything, just he was a very simple person. So he understood why the minister is behaving this way. He said, sir, I can go and give answers to the king. Minister said, Are, don't do that. He will kill you if you don't give answers to his satisfaction. He said, okay, you're going to kill me only, no, not you. So I'll go. So he went. He told the king that the question you asked was such simple questions that it's too small for my boss, that's your minister, to come and answer. So he sent me. The king says, what? Okay. But do you know the condition? Yes, yes. If I don't answer to your satisfaction, you'll kill me. Yes. Okay, you understood. Okay. Give me the answers. He said, you have to give me the questions for me to answer. And secondly, you are going to ask the question. So, you are the student, I am the guru. I will have to sit on the throne, you sit down. King said, correct. That is correct only. You are going to give me the answer, so you sit there. But if you don't give the answer to my satisfaction, I'll behead you. Said, okay. So the king is sitting on the floor. The guy who is going to give the answer is sitting on the throne. He said, now ask a question. Is there God? He said, yes, of course there is God. But you cannot see him. How do you say that? He said, get a glass of milk, he said. They brought a glass of milk. There is a butter in this? Of course there is. But can you see it? No. So there is a process through which you remove the butter. Similarly, there is a process through which you can bring the divinity out of yourself. So therefore, divinity is there very much. In fact, it's due to the divine's grace and enlivening that you are able to talk, ask question, I am able to talk, give answer. So divinity is everywhere, like butter everywhere in milk, that you can't see. But there's a process through which you can draw. If you're ready, I can teach you the process, you can draw God out. Does that answer satisfy your question? The king said yes. And what's the next question? Where does he live? What does he do? These are the two questions. Which direction is he facing? No, live means where. He said, light a lamp. Tell me which direction the light faces. You can't say it faces up or down. Light faces in all directions. Similarly, God is everywhere, nowhere in particular. Because it's infinite. Does it satisfy you? He said, yes. Now the third question is, what does he do for a living? What does God do for a living? He said, see, God keeps on changing everything. Until few minutes ago, you were the king sitting on the throne, I was sitting down. Now I'm sitting on the throne, you're sitting down. So what God does is, everything he keeps on changing. That thing is permanent. So that story I'm reminded of when I read this here. You know, everything changes. The only thing that is constant is, from the relative point of view, is change. So, there's no point resisting change. You know, people resist. If you resist, you will perish. Because you do not want to adapt to the change and move on. We have to adapt. Now, today's a lot of classes are happening online after Corona. You got to adapt. Without kind of compromising on the certain fundamentals, you got to adapt. That's what he's saying. If you don't, you'll perish. And certain, even when there is a situation, what can be changed, what cannot be changed? You should understand. Or what will take long time to change? You understand that. You accept and then you start doing the action. Then you will progress. Otherwise, no. That's why he says, everything changes. Physical body changes. Mind changes. People are supporting the right, then they will, after some time, maybe supporting left. Some people supporting left, after some time supporting right. Whichever side they are supporting, whether they support right or left, they always think they are right. That's the problem. Mind will change. That's the nature of the mind. That is the nature of the world, is to change. So if you do not change, you will perish. You've got to constantly update yourself and keep pace with time. Time will not wait for you. You will have to keep pace with time, otherwise you will perish. So the first thing you got to understand is, everything changes. Continue.
How can this ever-changing world cater to the individual demands? Yet you expect in vain for the world to fit into your mental pattern, and your desires remain unfulfilled. Your mind becomes agitated. You blame the world for your discontentment. You must understand the world is an admixture of pleasure and pain. Observe the play of pleasure and pain to become introvert. Use these contrasting experiences to delve deep into your inner personality. Search within and discover the seat of true peace and happiness.
So when pleasure comes, it's not going to stay forever. Similarly, pain, it's not going to stay forever. So these pleasure and pain, if you remain a witness and you can bring about a tremendous inner strength, instead of doing that, you resist the change. Why the pleasure has gone? I don't want the pleasure to go. I don't want the pain to come. If you are resisting, you are only going to become more weak, more stressed, etc. Therefore, he says, instead of fighting with the world, understand how the world functions and then adapt yourself and change yourself and become more internally strong. That's all he's saying. Use these contrasting experiences to delve deep into your inner personality and strengthen your inner personality. Search within and discover the seat of true peace and happiness. Why do you want to allow these changes to dictate terms to you? By identifying with it, you are suffering. Therefore, he says, remain a witness. Do not get agitated by getting involved. So you please understand, the world is not designed to cater to one individual's likes and dislikes. Isn't it? You organize one wedding on the seashore. And you are praying to God, Bhagavan, there should be no rain. 3 days, 5 days, you are having wedding and you are praying, no rain should be there, no rain should be there. karmas are praying for rain. Now, which prayer the God has to answer? You understand? So, the world is not designed to cater to one individual's likes and dislikes. So, there are times, many times, things will happen, may not be according to your likes. You need to strengthen your inner personality and move on. Continue.
The world is sometimes cruel only to be kind. Realize that. Do not abuse the plan of nature. Do not fall a prey to cynicism or pessimism in life. Instead, look at the world constructively. Does not a sportsman improve his game with strong opposition? Does not trade flourish with stiff competition? Does not a government stabilize with healthy coalition? Thus, make good use of the apparent antagonism of nature to rise to greater heights of perfection.
So, whatever may be the external situation, you've got to use it for your internal growth. In fact, tapas is one of the concepts in spiritual field which is mentioned only to strengthen the inner personality. To consciously, purposely deny certain things to oneself is to develop the inner strength so that you are able to live with the barest minimum. See, in life, Vedanta doesn't say that you are in life you should not bring in more comfort in your life. Of course, if you work, you have money, you can bring in more comfort, please bring it. But while you bring in the comfort, at the same time you've got to make sure that you don't lose your normal level, and your normal level should not change. You should have the capacity to continue going by walkouts, by bicycle also, by auto rickshaw also, by cab also. How can you lose that capacity? No, I can't do this. Because you've lost it. So the tapas, you know, that is inner strength. Similarly, he's saying use all the antagonism to develop the inner personality. Whole, every day when you wake up, you should say, I've got another opportunity, thank God for you, to give me another opportunity to strengthen my inner personality. Continue.
A great evolutionist, Dr. David Starr Jordan, says, in our discussion of social evolution, we must remember that the very perfection of society must always appear as imperfection, for a highly developed society is dynamic. A static society is in a condition of arrested development. The most highly developed organisms shows the greatest imperfections. Imperfection is inherent in nature. Resist not evil are the blessed words of Jesus Christ. Do not merely complain of evil. Instead, try to overcome it if you can. If you succeed, other imperfections will rise to the surface. Again, overpower them. It is the way to deal with the world. To keep on striving and correcting until you reach the state of absolute perfection within yourself.
See, the story of Akbar and Birbal, there are many stories, apparently in one context. Akbar drew a line on the board and said to Birbal, make it short without touching it. All that Birbal did was, he drew another line bigger than that and Akbar's line became short. So, similarly in life, what you call as perfection from a different level looks imperfect. Till you go to that level, you say, yeah, what is it? This is not perfection. Similarly, many times, you know, we think if I become a very successful person in life, in any field, that's it. If I get a lot of wealth, that's it. If I get a lot of relationships and friends, that's it. But then slowly you'll understand, no, that's not it. So what looks like perfection from one level may not be perfection when you go to that level. So that's all he's saying. Therefore, you've got to constantly strive, really speaking, there's only perfection inside. There is nothing perfect outside. And that perfection inside, till we achieve, we need to strive and continue. That's the message he's giving in this time. Continue.
Environmental conditions and situations keep changing all the time. As long as the world exists, you will have to struggle with it. Meet this problem of life by adaptation and readaptation to the recurring changes.
See, See, this is why, in fact, in the next paragraph, he's going to say this. All we need to do is adapt and readapt. We need this. That's why we need education. We don't need training. Animals can be trained. We are not animals to be trained. Maybe some animalistic tendencies in us requires training. But then what we need is education to be able to adapt and readapt. Continue.
Life evolves on the principles of heredity and adaptation. The law of heredity reigns supreme in animals. Animals owe practically all their organs and powers to the principle of heredity. They inherit virtually all of them from their species at birth itself. A human also is governed by the principle of heredity. But the predominance of the principle of adaptation or education distinguishes the human being from the animal. At the infant stage, a baby is as innocent and ignorant as a pup, perhaps more. But there is a striking difference in the later stages of their lives. The pup inherits at birth almost all it requires for its complete growth, whereas the child can, through proper adaptation and education, acquire phenomenal powers, even gain suzerainty over the world.
So when you understand the nature of the world, which is constantly changing, you got to develop the inner personality where the change doesn't affect. That's all he's trying to say. Let the changes outside continue happening, but not affecting you internally. That is what happens when you realize the self. But to that extent, you got to strengthen yourself. Therefore, he says, you got to educate yourself upon the higher aspects of life and then adapt and readapt yourself to the context so that you won't get stressed by the world. People say, world is giving me stress. World gives stress because you have not strengthened your inner personality. To strengthen your inner personality, world cannot give you stress. We just have two more paragraphs, so let's read it today. Please go ahead.
Life evolves on the principles of heredity.
Next one.
The evolutionists aver that the world is not on the whole a hard place to live in if one has the knack of making proper concessions. Hosts of living creatures, even plants, have acquired this knack. They and their descendants are able to hold their own in the presence of what is called struggle for existence. The ultimate solution, however, lies in recognizing the changeless reality in the changing phenomena. The one who realizes that establishes harmony with the world.
So instead of focusing upon the changes, focus upon what made you recognize the change. You see, a change is noticed with reference to a changeless entity. You know, you are moving in the train, you recognize that by seeing the posts that you cross. So the posts are stationary, they are not moving. But when the train is moving, you see, oh, okay. So similarly, every change is noticed with a changeless entity, with reference to a changeless entity. So therefore, you've got to shift your attention from the changes to the changeless entity and identify with it. Then no change can make any difference to you. Positive nor negative cannot affect you. Continue.
When you do not find peace and harmony, you attribute the cause of your discontent to the world. You believe the world needs correction. From time immemorial, human efforts have been directed to setting right the world. But so far, these efforts have met with little success. You do not realize that the solution lies in improving not the world, but yourself. You can find peace and harmony just by purifying your inner personality. When you purify your mind, you find the world purified. This is a law. The world is but a reflection of your mind. If your mind is good, the world is good. If your mind is bad, the world is bad. Therefore, change the pattern of your thoughts and feeling in your mind. The entire world changes.
See, constantly we blame the world for our suffering. Somebody or the other, mother-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, neighbors, politicians, pollution, something or the other, right? So he's not saying don't develop the world. developing the world should not be at the cost of strengthening the inner personality. That's all he's saying. You will not find peace or harmony outside. You will only find it within. Therefore, you got to develop your inner personality. You will only find solution that way. There is no solution by just constantly changing the world, changing places. That's not going to help you. We'll discuss this in a little more detail next week when we meet. I think next week we are meeting in person, Mamtaji.
So Guruji, 15th, by mistake I wrote 16th, I meant Thursday 15th, so I think some people have confirmed.
Okay.
So let's meet at 11 and I'll touch base with you about pickup and all from GK.
Sure. Yeah.
See, I'll do that. And I think everyone has a copy, no, Vedanta? I think so. I think everyone has. If they don't, they can discuss it when they come.
Sure. Yeah. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Budhyatmana Va Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami.